Hi, I'm Stefan Aiskens. I'm an Azure Specialist and a Microsoft MVP. I have a particular interest for artificial intelligence. I have been involved in several AI-related real-world projects in the past 3 years. Therefore, I want to share some lessons learned and, of course, some technical bits with the community. Please follow me on Twitter, as I'll keep sharing extra bits and I'll be announcing the upcoming of new episodes. This course is made of multiple episodes, and some of them might not be recorded yet by the time you watch the current episode. The course explains some fundamental AI concepts and will slowly increase in complexity with real-world examples and concrete business scenarios that could be relevant to your enterprise. You will learn how to create and consume Azure Cognitive Services, as well as how to educate more advanced services and specialize them to fit your specific needs. No technical prerequisite is necessary, as I will try to be as exhaustive as possible in my explanations. However, the course is primarily intended to developers, but part of it is accessible to non-developers as well. So far, we've seen how to build a chatbot with the Bot Framework and Language Understanding Intelligence Service. We used Q&A Maker to deal with day-to-day conversations and to respond to IT-related questions. We've also seen how to perform natural search against SQL databases and SharePoint by leveraging yet another cognitive service, namely the Linguistic Analysis Service. In this episode, we'll see what named entity recognition and concepts extractions are all about before diving into a scenario that considers routing and tagging documents automatically using Lewis, the Text Analytics API, and the Entity Linking API. For the time being, the Text Analytics API is a ready-to-consume service, meaning that you don't have to educate it, as you would do with Lewis, for instance. It comes with three features. Sentiment analysis that I showed you in the second episode of this series. But for those who haven't watched it, sentiment analysis is used to detect whether a piece of text is positive or negative. Sentiment analysis is often used in online reviews to detect whether people are positive or negative about an experience they encountered. In the enterprise context, sentiment analysis might be used against Yammer conversations to identify whether employees and partners are positive or negative on specific topics. That's just a use case. Language detection, as its name indicates, detects the language of a piece of text. 120 languages are currently supported. So you simply send a piece of text to the service and it will return you the language or languages should multiple languages be used in the text. Key phrases allow you to extract important words and phrases out of documents. However, I would not recommend to use them to tag documents directly because key phrases are sometimes a little bit chatty. I'll show you what I think is the best way to use this API in a few minutes. Unfortunately, in August 2017, Microsoft deprecated the topic detection feature. It's a pity as topic detection was able to extract concepts and you could define thresholds in order to extract only the most recurring concepts out of a document or set of documents. To be honest, I originally intended to focus on that as I found it to be the most promising feature, but it was also by far the hardest one to leverage. In the previous episode, when I mentioned that the Text Analytics API was using background jobs, I was referring to the topic detection feature, but I didn't know yet that Microsoft removed it from the service. For the time being, the Entity Linking API is also a ready-to-consume service that allows you to deal with named entity recognition, meaning the identification of words that correspond to materialized instance in the physical world. Wow, you must wonder, what the hell is he talking about? Well, to give you a concrete example, persons, locations, companies, etc. are all materialized in the physical world. Even softwares are materialized in the form of bits and bytes. So that's what a named entity is all about. It also performs concept extraction. A concept is something of a more abstract nature. For instance, project management and document management are both concepts. You can't find a corresponding physical instance of these in the real world. Unfortunately, for the time being, the Entity Linking API only works with the English language and accepts a text of maximum 2 kilobytes, which is rather low. Disambiguation isn't really managed by the Entity Linking API. I'll show you later what that means and I'll show you how the DBpedia Spotlight deals with this. Okay, now that I finished crying over the disappearance of the topic detection feature, let's see what else we can do with the Text Analytics API in its current state. Imagine that you want to offer your employees a new channel for uploading documents through a bot, instead of asking them to go to a given SharePoint site or any other location. While this sounds great as an end user, the system still needs to route documents to the right location and potentially add some tags on the fly. That's basically what we're going to do now. So here's the sequence we're going to follow. The user sends a document to our bot. We send its content to the Text Analytics API, where we identify the document language as well as the key phrases. We route the document according to the detected language. From there on, we have two choices. If we work with documents targeting a specific domain, we might simply send the extracted key phrase to Lewis to let it extract our business meaningful keywords from the key phrases. Remember, we saw in episode 3 how to create our own entities and how to train Lewis to make it understand our business. If, however, we work with generic documents, not bound to any particular domain, we could decide two routes here. Either we send the entire document to the Entity Linking API to extract imported entities and concepts, either we send the key phrases to the Entity Linking API. Deciding factor in this case is the size of the document. Remember the 2KB limit of the Entity Linking API. For the time being, I'll think that the most obvious choice is to send the key phrases. Time for a demo. So here's a recap of the steps required to reach the objectives depicted earlier in the use case scenario. We're gonna have to create the service. Here again, the service isn't available yet in the Azure portal, so you can only grab a trial key from the trial page as we did in the previous episode for the Linguistic Analysis API. As usual, I'll make a Fiddler demo where I'll consume the service and I will also demo the consumption of DBpedia Spotlight, another NLP service developed by Wikipedia, to explain you what disambiguation is all about. I'll finish by showing some code and the integration of what we discussed so far within our chatbot. As usual, using the Composer tab of Fiddler, I'm performing an HTTP POST query against the service endpoint. I specify my subscription key, and I'm asking Entity Linking to extract entities against the phrase "I live in Brussels and Paris is a nice person." As a result, I get some entities back, and both Brussels and Paris were tagged. However, and that's where disambiguation isn't correctly handled at this point, Entity Linking doesn't return the type of entities, but the Wikipedia identifier of Paris refers to the city of Paris, which is wrong in the context of this phrase. In this phrase, Paris is rather the first name of a person. Proper disambiguation would have been to have Brussels tagged as a city and Paris tagged as a person, or at least not tagged at all. Now, let me deviate a little bit from the cognitive services to show you DBpedia Spotlight, a free nerve service that allows you to extract entities. If I'm sending the phrase "I live in Brussels" to Spotlight, it would probably tag Brussels as a city. That's part of disambiguation, as you can filter on entity type. Also, in the input, you can ask it to filter automatically only on certain types. If I now send the phrase "I know a lot about project management gets extracted as a concept, hence no entity type returned by Spotlight. Now, if I send "Paris is a nice person," it also makes a mistake the same way Entity Linking does, but at least it explicitly returns you the type "city," which you could ignore should you want to consider only certain types of entities. At last, saying "Paris Hilton is a nice person" correctly tags Paris Hilton as a person. Of course, it's just an example here, so I don't know Paris Hilton and I just chose her because of her first name. So, now why not using Spotlight instead of Entity Linking? Well, you could, as at the moment it's doing a better job. But you will never get any SLA associated to this service, so you're not guaranteed the service will be up and running, and you won't have any idea of what's done with the data you send. When Entity Linking API will be globally available, you should have a typical SLA around the service. Okay, I showed you the consumption of Text Analytics API with Fiddler in episode 2, so there is no need to show that again. Let's see directly the system in action here, and then we'll see how it's working from a code perspective. Remember, in our scenario, we decide to work either with specialized documents, either with generic documents. Let's pretend I'm working with specialized documents having an academic nature, and I want to route them to the correct document library according to their language, and I also want to build an additional metadata column containing a summary of the documents, and some tags allowing me to fine-tune search queries. So here I'm uploading a document written in English that contains some information about a thesis. The bot replies with some information. At the top we have the keywords, and below we have a series of key phrases describing the document. So the bot sends the document to the Text Analytics API that extracted those key phrases, and then the bot sent the key phrases to a specialized Lewis application that extracted the most relevant keywords of these key phrases. I now have the information I need to fulfill my scenario's requirements. I can indeed concatenate the key phrases into an abstract column, or maybe take only the top 5 key phrases, and I can tag the documents using enterprise keywords with the tags found by Lewis. At the very bottom, you can see that the Text Analytics API detected the language used in the document, so I can use this information to route the document to its final destination. So I repeat the same operation, but this time with some French content. Here you can see that some specific French words were extracted by the Text Analytics API, and of course the French language was also detected by the API. Back to our Visual Studio solution. I have added an extra NuGet package to open and read the Word documents that are sent to the bot. In the message endpoint, I start checking whether the message contains attachments or not. If it does, I'm reading the attachment and I send its stream to a helper method that gets the key phrases and the language using the Text Analytics API. As you can see, here I simply output the outcome of the analytics to the user. I'm not effectively uploading the document into a document management system, as my point here is just to demonstrate the use of Lewis in combination with the Text Analytics API and Entity Linking API. I count on you to extrapolate further on your own. Similarly, I showed you how Entity Linking API works with Fiddler, so in this code sample I decided to use Lewis and the Text Analytics API only, as per my scenario, which consists in dealing with specific types of documents. Okay, let's now see how I use the Text Analytics API and Lewis together in the helper method. I start by getting the language of the document. One of the pain points here is clearly the fact that you have to call the Text Analytics API twice to get first the language and then the key phrases. It'd be nice to have a single endpoint returning all at once, including the sentiment analysis even. I then get the key phrases. Then I send those key phrases to Lewis using the Lewis client class that's available through the Lewis NuGet package we downloaded in episode 2. I check whether the detected language is French or English in order to send the key phrases to the corresponding Lewis application. Indeed, as we saw in episode 3, Lewis apps are bound to a language. So for my scenario, I have created two different Lewis apps, one for English, one for French, that I trained with specific French and English words. Note that I only send the key phrases to Lewis and not the entire document, because Lewis only accepts HTTP GET requests for Text Analytics, so the input is provided as a query string parameter by the Lewis client object. Therefore, URL length limitations apply here. I'm now storing the results of the Lewis analysis into a tag list. Note that I make sure to select distinct values only. Indeed, the same entity might be called multiple times by Lewis if present multiple times in the text, and I only want to keep a single instance of a given word. Then I simply return the object to the message endpoint, where I could route the document according to its language and build my abstract and enterprise keywords metadata columns when uploading the document to a document management system such as SharePoint, for instance. This episode and previous ones conclude our chapter on NLP-related APIs. Indeed, so far we have seen how to use Lewis, the Entity Linking API, Text Analytics API, the Linguistic Analysis API, and the QA Maker. We've seen a variety of real-world potential scenarios where you can use those APIs to your advantage. In the next episodes, we're going to go beyond text, as we'll deal with speech and vision-related services. Don't hesitate to follow me on Twitter and to share this series.